Hey, this is Dr. Ron Lester coming to you from Tucson, Arizona today, and we're so thrilled that God has given us that opportunity to minister on BPN Radio and preach. I appreciate Pastor Dale and Jean and Ruth and Rick, and we just want to thank them. And you know, it's a great opportunity to minister, and I'm grateful. And you know, that's what the Bible says, for us to be grateful and thankful. And so I'm very, very thankful for the opportunity today to minister today. And I have a very special message that I want to minister to you today about. I know it's getting in December here, and it is Christmas coming up, and I know it's the birth of Christ and what have you coming up. And you know, many people will be out there shopping for the best gifts that they can find for their spouses, or for their mothers and dads, or for their kids, their children. And I just pray that they all be safe, and that all of you will have a merry, merry Christmas as this month progresses along. But today we want to go to prayer, and first we're going to just go ahead and read the scriptures in Luke, the 16th chapter and the 19th verse is a very important scripture that I want Paul to read for us. And I tell you what, it is a great scripture. As many of you know, that in the Bible, hell is mentioned a number of times. I heard that you know, Jesus mentioned hell three times more than he mentioned heaven. I know that we looked up hell, and it's mentioned 54 times in the Bible. Now, I don't know exactly how many times heaven is mentioned, but I know that, you know, that it's mentioned a number of times. And so, anyway, we want to read this scripture here. Paul, if you feel like I can get through this scripture here without... we've been having some sickness in our family, and Paul is my youngest grandson, I guess you would say. He's 15 years old, and we're grateful. He's in the 10th grade. We have another that's in the 10th grade, Josiah, and we're just out of the eight. We have five grandsons, and praise God for that. Amen. And so, anyway, Paul, you feel like you can make it through it?
Yep.
All right, let's read then.
There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. Then, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead.
Yes, hallelujah. Praise God, Lord. As we come before you, Lord, we thank you for this word, and we ask you, Lord, right now that you minister across the nations and across the world. In the name of Jesus, let this word go forth. Lord, we know that this is an important message, and we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you open up our ears to hear your word. Anoint this lips of clay to minister the word of God today. I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for that anointing in a mighty, mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Now, when we read this scripture, this is a very important scripture in the Bible, explaining really what hell is all about. Now, many people have asked, well, why that they're, you know, they say, well, hell is not even mentioned in the Bible. I beg to, adjust their understanding a little bit, hopefully, that hell is mentioned 54 times in the Bible. Now, you think about that a minute. Why would the word hell be mentioned? Now, I know there's a word also that people say, well, Hades is the meaning of that word. Well, when you think about Hades, Hades was a place that they, just outside Jerusalem, where that they dumped all their trash and all of their garbage and what have you to burn it. And at other times, they've dumped other things into that area, diseased animals and what have you, that they did not, feel like that burying was the appropriate place for it. So they burnt that, and it stunk very, gave a very putrid smell. And so anyway, the word hell, if you look at it and say, well, it just means Hades, it's going to burn up and be gone. But Jesus talks about this, and he says that the rich man, he was very rich. And he sat at his table, and here it was that Lazarus sat outside the gate begging for a parcel of bread, just crumbs from the rich man's table. That's all he asked for. But the rich man was so abusive, so mean, that he wasn't even, inviting this poor man, this man that had sores, this man that, not much telling how sick he was or what all the problems was in his body. But God had mercy on him. And when he died, he picked him up, God picked him up, and the angels brought him to Abraham's bosom. Oh, praise God. You know, that's a good indication for each one of us that when we die, if we die in the graces of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know him as our personal Savior, that the angels will take us to be with the Lord in the air and go to be in heaven. That's a great testimony that, hey, if we die today, we're going to be with the Lord in the air in heaven. It's just like the man that died upon that cross, the thief that was there. Jesus, when Jesus was there, the thief turned to him. You know, he rebuked the other thief, the one guy. He says, we deserve this, but this man doesn't deserve it. And Jesus, he asked Jesus, remember me when you come into your throne. And Jesus told him, he says, you shall be with me in paradise today. Now you think about that a minute. Today you shall be with me in paradise. I just believe that we will, if we die, that we'll go to heaven. Our spirit, our soul goes to be with the Lord, and we will be there. Oh, thank you, Lord. This old body, it will be buried in a grave, but it will be reunited with the Lord one of these days. Thessalonians says that we which are dead, he says, in a twinkling of an eye, the trumpet shall sound, and then we which are dead, they shall meet the Lord in the air. Then we which are alive, we shall meet the Lord in the air, and we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. That's in Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. I believe it's the first Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. Anyway, you can read that. It is, I believe it's a great testimony that one of these days, the rapture is going to take place, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. I believe the rapture is right at the door. I believe we're living in the 11th hour, in the 59th minute, at the time is about to end. I just pray that you have made your reservations in heaven, that you've taken that opportunity to make the Lord as your personal Savior. When I look at the scripture and I see the rich man, as he is also, he dies, and he goes into the place called hell, and he looks over in that gulf, and he sees that man Lazarus, the poor man that sat at his gate. He cried out, "Lazarus, come and cool my tongue, man. I'm burning up. I'm hot. I can't stand it anymore." That gives me an indication that he was hot. He was burning up, that he was consuming, but he wasn't consumed. He thought he was going to be consumed, I'm sure, but he wasn't. He was burned up. He was in torment, it says. In torment, that means that it is everlasting, forever, eternity. And eternity never ends. Think about that. You live there a million times a million years, and eternity has just begun. Oh, my. I heard of somebody one time, explained, it said if a bird was to take and start pecking at Mount Everest and time it carried all the dust to the United States, that it would just eternity would just begin. That 29,000-foot mountain, think about that a minute. Eternity would just begin. Oh, my. That's a long time. I mean, it would take that bird a long time. Many generations of bird to peck at that mountain down. Oh, I know that eternity is a long time. And I think you need to search your heart today. Are you prepared to meet the Lord and your Savior? Have you got your heart right with the Lord? If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you go to heaven? See, that's the question that we all need to ask ourselves. I think of the little man down in Australia. The little man, basically, Gitto, was his name, but for 40 years, he handed out tracts. One day when he hit the wall, he said a man came to him and led him to the Lord. And he told the Lord, he says, if I'm able, he said, I will hand out 10 tracts every day and invite somebody to be a Christian. And in his little office or little room that he had down on George Street, he would run out and he would talk to people and he'd say, if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? And for 40 years, he did that. He never knew whether anybody ever took that opportunity to turn their hearts toward the Lord Jesus Christ. But after 40 years, there was a man that had calculated how many people around the world had come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, he had calculated it. He had come to Australia to do a crusade. And he asked the man, the pastor, do you know a little man that hands out tracts down on George Street? He said, I do. He says he's very feeble, he's very old, and he's been doing you know, passing out these tracts for years. I'll take you down. He took him down, and this little man, little feeble man, opened the door, and he invited him in. And he sat down, and they had tea, and he said the tea was slopping everywhere. He was so shaky and so, old and feeble. And he got to telling him how many people had gotten saved over the years. And he calculated 143,000 people that had gotten saved over the years. Many, many military personnel, because they'd come in, you know, for the groceries and come in for the, you know, their supplies and what have you. And many of them would get liberty. Many of them was Americans, but many of them was from all around the world. And, he calculated it. And he says, 140,000, not, and you think about it, the old man says, you know what? He said, for 40 years, I have been handing out tracts. Some days 10, some days I'd be sick, some days I'd make it up. But he said, I was faithful for 40 years, and I have never had anybody come and tell me that they had gotten saved. And the next few days, that little old man went on to be with the Lord. And I believe the angels carried him to heaven, carried him to Jesus. And I believe there was a great, great a reward waiting. The angels praising God and worshiping God. And I just believe that he had, oh man, are you going to be ready? When I look at this, I think of Abraham. I think of Lazarus. And I think, you know, Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. And he was looking over. He probably could see, maybe he could see the rich man in torment at that time. I don't know. But the rich man definitely could see over into Abraham and Lazarus and how they were enjoying probably the feast of relaxing in air conditioning. Oh my. Sometimes, you know, down here in Tucson, it gets really warm. This last summer, it got up to one day 116, and it was hot. I mean, you could touch the automobile, and I know that you could fry an egg on it that day. Oh, man, it was a scorcher. And I think about that. My goodness. You know, I've been in the Salton Sea area when it was 128 degrees, and that was miserable. I know that some of these guys that go to Iraq and over in that area, they said that it got up to 130 just about every day during the summer. You couldn't do anything during the day. You had to do everything at night. And most of all time, every time, it hardly ever got below 100 degrees at night. Now you think about it. I mean, if you stepped out without any shoes, your foot would just be just burnt up almost. I tell you, I don't know how people could stand it over there with that temperature and that kind of climate and what have you. Can you imagine this rich man in that torment like that? I know that this is real. Folks, this is real. I just don't know how to express it anymore. That hell is really real. You can push it off and say, no, it's not real. This whole Bible is not real. But I'm telling you, it is real. You know, when I was in Vietnam, I was in Vietnam during the war. I was there in 1966 and 67. And I tell you what, folks, there wasn't anybody over there that proclaimed to be an atheist at that time. I tell you what, you get them over in the battle zone, I tell you what, they all come around and they want to talk to the chaplain. They want to have prayer. I know my son is a chaplain in the Army now. And when he was in Iraq, he had a group of men, And every night before they would go out, they would come around and they would pray. They would catch hands and he would pray that hedge of protection around about them. And he said that out of 90 some odd men, there was only two that were lost. They got plenty of Purple Hearts, but only two that lost their lives. But folks, it is real. It is real. There is no doubt in my mind that hell is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Are you ready? Are you really ready? You know, I think, you know, I just I'm really concerned about the things that happens on this in this United States. People are getting to that radical area where they just basically, you know, will not accept the Word of God. They will not accept the reading of the Word. We've taken the Word of God out of the schools. We've taken prayer out of the schools. We've taken the Ten Commandments out of the schools. We hope and trust that the Lord will open those doors again. But right now, our children never exposed to the Word of God in a classroom setting. Now, some people, you know, some kids are bold enough to be able to bring their Bible to school at times and have a worship time or a Bible study at the school facilities during the lunch hour or at after school program or something, but they are not allowed to have the Word of God in the classroom, seemingly. I don't know if they ever have a discussion. They may, but I tell you what, even that would be trodden on special grounds, I might say. It would be difficult for them to have a real discussion about heaven or hell. I just pray that God would minister to our young people. I know that I have a special needs program that comes on Thursday at 1 o'clock and at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time on BPN Radio here. I just pray that God would minister to our young people. I know that they have challenges growing up right now. It is a difficult time in our children's lives, our grandkids' lives. They're never exposed to the Word of God. When I was growing up, back in the 50s and 60s, in our classroom, we had the reading of the Bible every morning in the class. We would have prayer. And we would pray for all of those people that were sick, people that, you know, in the class that might have some challenges, might be hurting. I just, you know, it was amazing how long we took to pray. You know, the teacher was, you know, I mean, it was a very organized, and we were basically allowed to talk about, to ask questions about the Bible. And I tell you what, we also got a New Testament from the Gideons. I remember that we got the book of John to begin with, and we would look for certain words in the book of John. And after we read the book of John, we would get a New Testament from the Gideons. And so, anyway, I remember that New Testament, and I read it, I don't know how many times I read it back and forth. I remember even taking it to the military when I went into the Air Force. And then the Gideons actually at that time actually passed out a New Testament again. So I got another New Testament and from the Gideons. And so anyway, it was a great program. Now, I don't know. I don't even hear about the Gideons that much anymore. I know that they used to pass out Bibles in the hotels. I don't know if they're still doing that or not. But anyway, the Word of God needs to go forth. We need to be able to tell people, hey, you know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you may be headed for hell and you could die today. How serious can that be? We don't have a promise of tomorrow. We don't have a promise of next hour. I don't have a promise of this, you know, going to supper right now in a little while. I don't have a promise of being alive. But you know what? I have a promise that I know my Savior, my Lord Jesus Christ. I know Him as my personal Savior. Do you know Him as your personal Savior? I don't want to see you go to hell. I don't want to see anybody go to hell and burn up. Burn forever. You'll never burn up. Oh, can you imagine that? I mean, I've seen things burn up. I've seen animals burn up in my life. And it's a terrible, terrible scene. But to never see it burn up would be unbelievable. Can you imagine the smell and the torment and the agony, your smashing of teeth? It says in the Word of God that there'd be smashing of teeth. Oh, man. Grinding of teeth. Can you imagine? Screaming and hollering. Give me something to cool my body. Oh, God, help us. Can you see that? And then see those that go to heaven to sit at the banquet table, to sit at the table of Jesus and the Lord, our God, our Father in heaven. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Paul, if we got time, I want you to look up that song, Can You Only Imagine? Have we got time to do it, you think?
No.
No? Okay. He says no. I was thinking maybe I had time to do it. But I just pray that God will give you the opportunity. I want to give you the opportunity right now to pray that God would minister to you right now. And I want you to just think, am I really ready if I were to die today? You think about that scripture. This man wanted his tongue to be cooled. Just bring something to cool his tongue. And he said, you know, Jesus told him, you know, says God told him, says, you know, even if somebody from the dead would rise up and go and tell your brothers, they would not believe it. They have Moses. They have the prophets. If they can't believe them, how do you expect them to believe anybody that rises from the grave? Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord as your personal Savior? Folks, time is short. It's up to you to make that decision. I just pray that you'll make that decision today, that you'll turn your heart to the Lord and say, yes, Lord, I'll come to you. I accept you as my personal Savior. Forgive me of my sins. I want to turn from my wicked ways. I don't want to cuss anymore. I don't want to swear anymore. I don't want to be lost and go out into eternity, into hell. Father, forgive me for my sins. In the name of Jesus, I accept you as my personal Savior, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I tell you what, if you followed through with that, I want you to give me an email. Ron, R-O-N, Lester, L-E-S-T-E-R, 45, @gmail.com. I just believe that if you'll do that, I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for anybody out there that if you accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, I just believe the Lord is able to minister to you today in a mighty way. I lift you. I just pray for you right now, Lord. As they get established in a church, help them to get into a Bible-believing church somewhere. In the name of Jesus, help them, Lord Jesus, to stand true to you, Lord. Help them to be committed to you. In the name of Jesus, this is Dr. Ron Lester coming to you from Tucson, Arizona. And we're so glad that you've joined us today. This is bpnradio.com. Ron Lester. God bless.